Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about Magid. We start off Halach Ma'anya, and then right Halach Ma'anya Chalav Asana. This is the poor man's bread that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. And then if there's a wise guy at your seder, he'll say, "No, it's not. The bread that our fathers ate in Egypt is probably very stale by now. This matzah may be stale, but it's not that stale. How could you call this the bread they ate in Egypt?" So I would say it's a nundik would ask the question, but the emes is that the Magen Avraham asked this question. The Magen Avraham says that this is a good basis to prefer the other nusach. There's a nusach that puts in a chaf. In a lot of haggadahs it says kil halach ma'anya. It's interesting the way he brings it down. He has two alternatives. Kehalach ma'anya or ha'kilach ma'anya, which I think he seems to like better. Ha'kilach ma'anya, but that didn't catch on. There are other nuschais. I remember growing up, and my father likes to follow the minhag of Alexander Hasidim, and the Alexander Hasidim say heilach ma'anya with a tzeve. And I just recently discovered that Lubavitch also says it that way, so that, I guess, multiplies its popularity by about 100-fold from what I had thought. But Al Kapanim, they have these various nuschois. There's a in the Haggadah Shel Pesach Shevet HaLevi from Shmuel Vosner. He writes interesting deher on the nusach of Kehalach Ma'anya.
Today's Rebbe's birthday, 120th birthday.
The
Lubavitch Rebbe. Okay.
Today's Yud Aleph.
It's the yard side of the Ramban. I don't know if he could compete, but it's the Ramban's yard side. where were we? The Shevet HaLevi has an interesting deher. Maseches Pesachim starts with the word Ur L'Arba'asar, Beit Kenas HaChametz. And the Gemara immediately says, what does that mean? Ur L'Arba'asar means the night of the 14th. So the whole sugya of the Gemara trying to figure out just what it means. The maskana is, it means the night of the 14th, but it's an unusual word to use to mean the night of the 14th. So there's a geshmaka piece in the Baal HaMar. One of the Rishonim in the Baal HaMar says on this that the reason why the Tana began the Masechta with this word, and he didn't just say Erev or Laila or some other phrase that would more clearly mean the nighttime, it's because there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says Pesach Tverecha Yair, Pesach with a Sof, nothing to do with the holiday of Pesach. Pesach Tverecha Yair, that the opening of your words should be bright, should illuminate, should sparkle. So that's a makar that your psicha, there should be something sparkling, something beautiful, something geschmack in the way that you open. So Ur is a word that means light. That's a bright way to open the Masechta. I didn't want to open the Masechta with a word that overtly means darkness, something dreary. So it used the word Ur, which could also mean the nighttime, because of Pesach Tverecha Yair. So the Shevet HaLevi says that this is a style in Jewish history. A lot of the great classics in Jewish history took this idea of including something in their opening that makes it something special, something sparkling. So, for example, the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, the first halachas, Perek Aleph, halacha Aleph, and halacha Seidei Torah begins Yisoid haYisoides vaAmud haChochmais, and then he goes on to say is Amun and Hashem. But those four words are Rashi Tevos Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then there's a similar the Mesilas Yisharim. That's the more well known example of this in the Mesilas Yisharim. He also begins Yisoid HaChasidus v'Sheirish HaAvoda. It also Gematria Yud Kei Vav Kei. So in this spirit, the Shevet HaLevi says that maybe that's why we would begin with the Nusach of Kiho Lach Ma'anya, because Kiho is Gematria 26. Yud Kei Vav Kei, like the Rambam, like the Ramchal, that began with a reference al derech Rashi Tevis to the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So maybe here we're beginning with a reference al derech gematria to the same Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Kayim Masha Nemar Pesach Tverecha Yair.
Keha means light also.
That, well, it's with two hays. Right? Okay, all right. Now, you have this vart. It's, I would say, it seems like a pretty harmless vart. You can like it, you cannot like it, but it doesn't seem like anything controversial. It's just like saying, a vertel, a light zach. But there's something a little bit controversial here, in that he's supposing that these words, halach ma'anya or ki halach ma'anya, are the opening of something, they're the start of something, the start of Magid. And if for instance, it's the start of Magid, so there's this idea of Pesach Devarach HaYoyer, we should do something special, so we have a gematria to the Shem Yerkevavke. There's a Haggadah that came out a few years ago, the Haggadah B'tzeis Yisrael, collecting the teachings of Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, and it's brought down over there that Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, he tainted that Halach Ma'anya is not the beginning of Magid. It's not part of Magid at all. He said that in every Haggadah, you have these banners or these, you know, headlines that go on the top of the page, Kadesh Urchatz, Karpas Yachatz, and he said that the banner is misplaced over here. In the print of the Haggadah, it puts the big print of the word Magid in the fancy box. It puts it before Halach Ma'anya. It's really supposed to be after Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya is part of Yachatz. That was Avelsky's Einfall, his idea. What do you mean it's part of Yachatz? Yachatz is we break the matzah. Why do we break the matzah? Because it says in the Torah, Lechem Oini. And the Gemara Darshan, Daf Kuf Tes Vav, Madarka Shal Oini Beprusa, Afkan Beprusa. So we break the matzah to make a prusa, and then we explain what we did. We say, Halachem Anya, this is the Lechem, now that I broke it and it's a prusa, Halachem Anya, this is the Lechem Anya, Yachal Avasana. And I would make a parallel to this, a mashal. Where else in the Haggadah did you find such a thing? By Koyrech. Koyrech also has a little bit of a speaking part to explain what we're doing. We bundle together the matzah and the maror, and we eat the two of them together. And then we say, to explain what we're doing, there's a paragraph in the Haggadah to explain what Koyrech is all about. So Rav Belsky claimed that this paragraph of Halach Ma'anya is like the paragraph of Kenas HaHilal. It's an explanatory note to explain what we're doing in Yachatz. But it's really not part of Magid. It has nothing to do with Magid. And his raya was because Magid, we start with pouring the second cup of wine. And we pour the second cup of wine after Halach Ma'anya. We say Halach Ma'anya, then we pour the second cup of wine, and then we say Manash Tana. If it was part of Magid, so why wouldn't we pour the second cup of wine before Halach Ma'anya? As a matter of fact, the Rambam does say to pour the second cup of wine before Halach Ma'anya. And I've known that Rav Belsky was very well aware of that, but Rav Belsky would say, we're not knowing like the Rambam, meaning according to the Rambam and Halach Ma'anya, he probably did think of Halach Ma'anya as part of Magid. He has the wine being poured before Halach Ma'anya, but Lefi, that which we're knowing, not like the Rambam, we pour the wine after Halach Ma'anya, that would seem to suggest that we don't consider it part of Magid. So what is it? It's really part of Yachatz. And that which it says Magid in big letters before Halach Ma'anya is just a mistake. He says that just got thrown in by the printers and it's a mistake. So I want to explore that a little bit and take issue with his claim and to, I guess, justify the way all of the Haggadahs are printed. Although I should point out that it's not really, you know, when we talk about where does Magid start and where is it supposed to say the Magid in big letters in your Haggadah, that's not really a formal question or any kind of official thing. This poem, Kadesh Rochatz Karpas Yachatz Magid Rochatz Moitzi Matzah, doesn't have any legal significance.
Nafkamina.
Right, it doesn't have any nafkamina. What it is interesting to note, is part of a style or a derech that was prevalent in the times of the Rishonim. They made up rhymes to help keep track of what you're up to in the Seder. To make a rhyme for the Seder, for the steps of the Seder, was a popular pastime. The one that we have, the one that's become universally well-known, comes from one of the Baalei HaTosfos, so it's probably in the 11 or the 1200s. Got the Shurachat, and again, the whole thing rhymes, right? Every second word is a rhyme, Orchatz with Yachatz, and Rachza with Matzah, and Koyrech with Shulchan Oirech, and Zavon Barech Hal Nirtza doesn't rhyme so well, but okay, that's what it is, and you could find another, a totally different rhyme, but that's the truth, that was written by the Maharam of Wittenberg, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, also in the 1200s in Germany. You could find this in the back of a Rambam, in the Hagoyis Maimini, in the back at the end of the Rambam, in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. He brings down, it's a little bit shorter, I think, like a 12-line poem. It's very different than the one that we have. It has some, you know, it's a little bit more halachic, of fewer steps, but also a poem to keep track of the steps of the Seder. And I saw just a few days ago that there's a researcher that was looking around in Haggadahs from before they started to be printed. Meaning, the printing press changed everything. Once you have the printing press, so now there's such a thing as the standard edition. Before the printing press, there wasn't the standard edition. So you had a lot of written Haggadahs. Everything was handwritten. And every Haggadah had a rhyme to keep track of the steps of the Seder. This researcher found more than 70 different rhymes, the vast majority of which were never printed. But he found them going through old Haggadahs, you know, because he didn't have the whole world using the same one. But everybody was a very widespread minhag to have a song to keep track of the steps of the Seder. But what the song was, it was whatever you want. But this was a very popular one. It was made by a rabbi, and it took off. So now that's our song. Klal Yisrael has adopted it. But it doesn't have any legal significance. And to say, is this part of Magid or is it part of Yachatz, doesn't make any nafkamina.
Catch it too.
That is such a catchy tune. But what our Shai was really going to get to is, what do we mean to be doing when we're saying Halach Ma'anya? Do we mean to be just describing Yachas? Is it an explanatory note? Or do we mean to be starting the mitzvah of CBC Sitzrayim? And that's really what the issue is. And Rav Belsky was telling that it seems clear that we don't mean to be starting the CBC Sitzrayim, because then we would have poured the cup of wine already. So that's what I want to... let me respond to a little bit. The Halacha Ma'anya is a relatively new part of the Haggadah. It doesn't go back to the times of the Tanayim, like most of the Haggadah. It's a later addition. In the Mishnah,
do we know
who made up the Halacha Ma'anya?
No, the whole Haggadah, the whole same, the whole Haggadah.
Most of it...
Anshikne?
I don't know.
Is that
not Anshikne Sagdayla? It's Tanayim. Like... saying the Rav Elazar ben Azariah is a Mishnah, right?
Who put it all together?
But who put it together? Yeah, as the Seder.
I don't know.
The person who found those 70, Halach Ma'anya wasn't in there.
No, Halach Ma'anya does go back to before the times of the Rishonim. Halach Ma'anya definitely
poems,
was in so there.
It's the songs, the 70 poems.
The Kaddish Rokhetz Karpas Yachat, that
was... I thought you said Halach Ma'anya is fairly recent.
Yeah, it's fairly recent in that it doesn't go all the way back to the Tanayim.
Oh, okay.
The Rambam, most of the Haggadah.
Isn't that why it's in Aramaic and not in Hebrew?
Yeah. So right, that's why.
Say the last pasuk, Hashta Lashana Bob, in Hebrew, so that the people who understood Aramaic didn't know that one. That's what I always
think. Yeah?
Isn't that the only pasuk in Hebrew? The whole thing is Aramaic, except
that last pasuk. Many reasons for
that. That's also Aramaic. Right. Isn't that also Aramaic? Hashata Hacha Lashana Habab Arad Yisrael.
Yeah,
the Shana Rabbi Yishlaim is later by Chassal Seder Pesach.
Right.
Now this whole thing is Aramaic because it was made up in Babel, but most of the Haggadah was made up in Eretz Yisrael. When was it all put together in this order? I don't know. But it goes back to the times of the Mishnayos. I mean, most of it is really spelled out in the Mishnayos in Arvei Pesachim. So Halach Ma'anya comes later, but in the Mishnah it says Moizgin Leikhais Sheni, the Kana Bein Shayol, and then it says the Manashana. There's a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Tezayin and Psachim, the Mishnah with the Manashana. It starts off Moizgin Leikhais Sheni, they pour the second cup, the Kana Bein Shayol, and then the son asks, and the Mishnah teaches us the Manashana. But I would ask another Kasha, besides for the four Kashas of the Manashana, I would ask a question: who thought it was a good idea to pour? If you have 12 people sitting around your table, to pour 12 cups of red wine up to the tippy top 2 hours before you need to drink them. I think everybody knows from experience that those cups end up getting spilled, at least some of the time, some of the cups. So there's obviously some cost to the pouring at the beginning of Magid. The catch is that you don't need it till the end of Magid, right? After Magid, you can make a Baruch of Asher Galanu, and then you're going to drink a cup of wine. So pour it then. Why are you pouring it now? So it's interesting. The Torah writes that that's exactly he asks because of that. That's one of the things that's supposed to trigger the asking. There are numerous things that we do on the Leil HaSeder to keep the children engaged, to keep the children interested. So one of the things is that we pour the cup of a second cup of wine. We don't need it yet. And every kid knows that by a regular Yom Tov Suda, you have one cup of wine at the beginning, and then you start the Suda. So we have one cup of wine. Now you're pouring the second cup of wine. Before the, so kind of being child, that's supposed to make the kid ask questions. So the Torah says it's Kadesh Yish Lo Tinoikes. In the Rambam, it's interesting, the Rambam writes that there's a big inyan on the night of Leil Pesach to do things to keep the children engaged, to keep them curious. And the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel that there are three things that we do, Kadesh Yish Lo Tinoikes. And he lists them. The first one is Machalkin Kloyes Ve'Goyzim, we give out candy to the children to keep them engaged. The second one is Oikrinas HaShulchan, that we remove the table. This is something that has changed over time. It used to be that they had a small tent, right? If you picture, if you just imagine, and we all know from Leil Pesach, the Inyan of Haseba, back in Roman times, in aristocratic circles, they ate on couches. So if you picture your own dining room, and let's say there's 10 people at your Seder, so picture your dining room with 10 couches in it. So the obvious kasha is, where's the table? So the answer was that they had much smaller tables. They had this little table, like a personal round, it was like a really more like a tray on a pedestal. So that could be carried in and out. So it says in the Gemara that the Oikrinas HaShulchan. So the Rambam says that's the second thing that they do, Kadesh Yish Lo Tinoikes. That before we haven't even eaten the meal yet, and then they take away the tables, the children say, hey, where's the food going? And the third one is Chaitvenas HaMatzah. The Rambam writes that we grab matzahs from one another. Not so clear what that means, and the Shrus Yaakov says, interestingly, that that's probably the origin of the minhag. Shrus Yaakov is writing in the early 1700s, and he writes a very widespread minhag that the children grab away the afikomen and hide it from their parents. This goes back at least till then. He says it's probably based on that, which is to keep the children engaged, so we've just improved on it a little bit over the centuries, and now we have a whole hide and go seek with it. But al kapanim, that's the Rambam's list. The Rambam says there are three things that we do: kedesh yish lo tinoikes, the klois ve'agoyzim, the oikonos hashulchan, the chaytan hasamatzah. But he doesn't say meizgin klois sheni. That's kedesh yish lo tinoikes. So over there, it's meduyak that he doesn't agree with the Torah's answer again. The kasha was, why are we pouring the cup before manashtana? We don't need it until Asher Galan. Why are we pouring it so early? So the Torah said Kadesh Yish Lo Tinoikes. The Rambam leaves it out of his list of Kadesh Yish Lo Tinoikes. But if you take a look a few paragraphs later, the Rambam in Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes about the Arba Kaisais on Leil Pesach, that each of these four Kaisais has a different mitzvah that's done with it. The first cup were Omer Lavas HaKiddush. The second cup were Kareyan Lavas HaHagadah. The third cup is for Birkas HaMazon. And the fourth cup is for Hallel. The Rambam is telling us that, you know, we're all familiar with it from all year long, Kiddush and Havdalah, the idea of a mitzvah being said al hakos. There's a mitzvah to say Kiddush every Friday night, and we lend more chashivas to that by saying it al hakos, right? Which incidentally is an idea that I think people relate to across many, many cultures, that when you want to lend chashivas to a declaration, you do it al hakos. That's the whole idea of a toast. Right, if somebody still wants to wish you good luck and farewell, and they say you take a cup of wine to do this. So that's what we do with Kiddush and with Havdalah and with the Chasana and various other times that we do something a la Kais. So the Rambam says that we do that with all four Kaisais. So Magid is said, just like Kiddush is said on the Kais Rishon, the Haggadah is said on the Kais Sheni. So now we know why the Rambam didn't include this on his list of Kadesh Yish Lo Tinoikes. According to the Rambam, we're not pouring the cup early. We're pouring the cup exactly when it needs to be poured. It's for Magid. According to the Rambam, the reason why we pour it at the beginning of Magid is because the whole Magid should be said al hakos. The Torah apparently disagrees with that. The Torah doesn't agree that Magid is said al hakos. According to the Torah, you don't really need the kais al Asher Galanu. So why are we pour, we're really pouring it too early. So why are we pouring it so early? So then, V'kana Bein Shoyal, you go straight into Manish Tana. So there's two different, there's a machlekes over here, two, let's say, two understandings about whether Magid is said al hakos or not, two answers to why the Kais Shel, the Kais Sheni was poured at the beginning of Magid. One is so that Magid should be set on a Kais, and the other is Kadesh Yishla Tinai Kais. Now, the Mishnah says to pour it before Manish Tana. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about Halach Ma'anya, but as we already explained, that's because the Mishnah didn't have Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya was a later invention. But now, what should happen if there's a later invention? Let's say Chazal made up a Seder, you poured the second cup of wine when you're up to Manish Tana, and then a few hundred years later, Bnei Yisrael went and added another paragraph at the beginning of Magid. Halach Ma'anya. So now what should we do with that second kais? Should we pour it? Is that moisiness kais? Should it be before Halach Ma'anya or after Halach Ma'anya? So I would say that if the reason, why were we pouring it then in the first place? If the reason why we were pouring it then was because we wanted Magid to be Halach Kais, it was there because that was the beginning of Magid. So then if we made Magid bigger and now there's a different beginning of Magid, so we should pour the cup earlier. We should pour it before Halach Ma'anya. On the other hand, if the whole reason we were pouring it then, it wasn't so that Magid should be Halach Kais. The reason we were pouring it then was Kadesh Yishlo Atinai Kais. So we wanted it to be attached to what? To the Manish Tana. So then even if Magid gets much, much bigger, the Moizgen as a Kais is not connected to the beginning of Magid, it's connected to Manish Tana. It happens to be that once upon a time Manish Tana was the beginning of Magid. But now the Manish Tana is not the beginning of Magid, so will you pour the Kais before or after Halach Ma'anya? If you were pouring it there, Alts beginning of Magid, then now you'll make it before Halach Ma'anya. But if you were pouring it there, Alts Manish Tana, Alts Kadesh Yishlo Atinai Kais, so it'll stay right where Chazal put it, at the beginning of Manish Tana. Which,
sorry, what does Kadesh Yishlo Atinai Kais have to do with Manish Tana, though? He's not asking about the wine.
That's true. So that's a little bit of a different shmooze. The Rashi on the Mishnah sounds like the Kadesh Yishlo Atinai Kais really means other questions, and if he has no questions, use these questions. It's a place to ask questions, and so we want to do something that will make him ask a question, but if he doesn't go and ask his own questions, then he should say these questions. That's the Mashmos of Rashi on Kufta Zayin. That's a big discussion, maybe for next year. So what that means is, coming back to Rav Belsky's Ha'ara, Rav Belsky was asking Akasha on our practice, which is that we pour the cup after Manish Tana. Now he conceded that, of course, the Rambam says you pour the cup before the Manish. I'm sorry, Halach Ma'anya. According to the Rambam, you pour before Halach Ma'anya. But he was saying, but look, we will pour it after Halach Ma'anya. So that's a right that Halach Ma'anya is not part of Magid. He was asking Akasha on the practice of the Tor, assuming the lumdus of the Rambam. But if you recognize each one's lumdus, everyone's minig is completely eitzkahalten. According to the Rambam, that the reason why we pour the cup so early so that Magid should be Halach Kais, so then it should be before Halach Ma'anya. And that's exactly what the Rambam says. The Rambam pours the cup before Halach Ma'anya. We follow the Torah and we pour the cup after Halach Ma'anya, but according to the Torah, the cup is not for Magid. The cup is just for Manish Tana. So that's why we pour it before the Manish Tana. So there's really no kasha of why don't we pour it before Halach Ma'anya. Those that would... That should be pouring before Halach Ma'anya, that's the Shita Rambam, they hold we do pour before Halach Ma'anya. And according to the Torah, there's no reason to pour before Halach Ma'anya. So therefore, Lanias Dati, I think his Ha'ara, that it can't be part of Magid, because we don't pour the cup till afterwards, is Nishkein Ha'ara, and if I care. But what it shows us is that there are really two different understandings of what's going on with that second cup. Now, continuing sort of Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'isei Inyan, the Machalekes Rambam and Tur about whether the second cup, whether Magid is set ala kais or not ala kais. According to the Tur, which is our minhag, right, we follow the Tur, it's Magid is really not set ala kais. But there is a very similar thing that we have, that we do have, dafke lefi the Tur, that sort of compensates for this. The Gemara says on the Flamid Vav that we darshan from Lachamayni. I mentioned before Lachamayni is darshan to teach us Darkei Shalani Beprusa. That's where we break the matzah. But the Gemara also darshan from Lachamayni Lechem Sha'inim Alav Dvarim, that you talk on or about the Lachem. Now this Dvarim, which Dvarim do we say Al Halachem? So Rashi there in the Flamid Vav says it means the Haggadah. Say the whole Haggadah on the Lachem. Take a look in Rabbeinu Hananel is on Kuf Tesvav. There's two places where the Gemara is brought down. Rabbeinu Hananel on Kuf Tesvav, he says, Lechem she'einim lav dvarim, matzah zoi she'anu oichlam. He refers to the paragraph of matzah zoi she'anu oichlam, specifically. Not the whole Magid. Now, Rabbi Nechanan. Now the Rambam is often following the Maseir of Rabbi Nechanan. Just to put it in perspective, the Rambam was a Talmud of his father, who was a Talmud who learned in the yeshiva of the Rima Gash. The Rambam considered himself a Talmud of the Rima Gash. The Rima Gash was the successor of the Tur. He was a Talmud of the Tur and took over the Tur's yeshiva. The Rima Gash was a Talmud, right? He was a Sfaradi. He was a Talmud of the Rif and took over the Rif's yeshiva. The Rif was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Hananel. So the Rambam's Mesirah goes back to Rabbeinu Hananel, and so it's not surprising you find in many places, it's not an ironclad rule by any means, but you often find the Rambam following Rabbeinu Hananel. Now, notice this. We have a Yachatz, Kadesh Yachatz, Karpatz Yachatz, Magid. Before we start Magid, we break the Matzah. The Rambam doesn't have that. In the Rambam's Seder, he has us breaking the matzah right before the Hamoitzi Lechem and Aretz. You wash it after Magid, after Asher Golanu, and you drink the second Kais, you wash your hands, you make a Baruch HaMa'al to the Sedayim, then you pick up your two matzahs. The Rambam didn't have three matzahs, he had two matzahs. You pick up your two matzahs, you break one of them, L'Kayim, the Inyan of Ma'adar Kishalani Baprusa, and then you make the Baruch HaMa'al to Lechem and Aretz, and the Baruch HaMa'al to the matzah. He doesn't have the whole Yachatz 2 hours earlier at the beginning of Magid. He also, we mentioned before that we were oikmen as hasholcham, we take away the table. When do we bring it back? So the tour says that we bring the table back by Avadim Hayinu, then the whole Magid is said with the matzah on the table. The Rambam says that we bring the table back when you get up to Rambam Gamliel HaYoyimer. Why Rambam Gamliel HaYoyimer? Because that's when you have to point to the matzah zoi. So what we do, we break it at the beginning so we have a prusa, and then we make sure to bring it back so that the whole Haggadah is said with that prusa on the table. The idea is because Oinim Alav Dvarim means that we say the Haggadah, like Rashi says, we say the Haggadah on the matzah. The matzah is playing the role of a cup of wine. By Kiddush, right, we're familiar with the idea of saying something al hakais. On Pesach night, we say a Haggadah al hamatzah. But the Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam says he doesn't bother breaking the matzah until later because the Inyan of Prusa, there's no Inyan of Prusa during Magid. You know, what does matzah have to do with Magid? The matzah has to do with Maitzi Matzah, so that's when we break it. He doesn't even have it on the table, except when you get up to Rambam Gamliel because you have to point to it, so he puts it, like, for practical reasons, he puts it on the table. But clearly, he doesn't have this Inyan of saying the Haggadah al Hamatzah. I the Gemara says, Lachem Sha'inim Lav Dvarim. Yeah, that just means, so actually, it's a tifa nekuda. The oinam alav dvarim. What does the word al mean? Alav, on it. What does the word al mean? So al usually means on, but it could also mean about. According to the Rambam, lachem sha'inam alav dvarim means that you're supposed to talk about the matzah. According to the Tur, to Rashi, oinam alav dvarim means that you say dvarim on the matzah. What do you mean on the matzah? Like al hakais. You say magid on the matzah. You use the matzah to give chashivas to your magid. But right, like we gave before the mashal about proposing a toast. The matzah is the toast for Magid. The Rambam doesn't have that bechlal. He doesn't have the matzah on the table during Magid. But the Oinam of Dvarim doesn't mean that the Sipri Tzitzayim should be said on the matzah. It means that the matzah should be discussed, should be described. So that's the matzah Zayisha Anuaychem. That's where Rabbeinu Hananel says that the Oinam of Dvarim refers to the paragraph of matzah Zayisha Anuaychem, and that's all. So they have very different explanations of that Gemara about Lachem Sha'inim Alav Dvarim. You see this in, again, the Zerayin Hananel, and then those two Rambams that we mentioned about the different sequencing during the Seder. So what comes out is that the Tur has this Inyan of Magid being Al Hamatzah, which the Rambam doesn't hold of, and the Rambam has this Inyan of the Magid being Al HaKais, which the Tur doesn't hold of. So both of them, so it's L'shitasam, both of them have something that we're using to give chashivas to our declaration during Magid. But they're two different things. According to the Tur, Rashi, our minhag, it's the matzah. According to the Rambam, who did a lot of things different than our minhag, it was the kais sheni. So, okay, so that's the little bit of a thing, probably, hopefully some new insight into what's going on with the different things on the table during Magid. But then we come to something very mysterious. if I may use the term,
Mister.
we make a yachatz on our magid. A yachatz means we break in half, but not quite in half, right? There's a larger half and a smaller half. We break our magid in half. Because I just described that there's two different pictures of magid. There's a magid al hakais, there's a magid al ha-matzah. So which one do we do? So I was saying that we do it al ha-matzah, where we follow the Torah, not the Rambam, because we bring the matzah there by Avadim Hayinu, we make sure that it's broken, so we have the prusa on the table the whole time. But that's only until lefichach. And then at lefichach, the Shulchan Aruch says, when we get up to lefichach hayav manu l'haydis l'hal l'shabeich l'fayar l'vayim l'had l'zeich v'arach l'al l'kaleis, or something like that. And then we start v'nem l'fanu shir chadasha haluka, and then we say two paragraphs of halel, halu avdei Hashem, and we say Sfami Mitzrayim. And for that part, the Shulchan Aruch says, we cover the matzah, and we pick up the kais. And we hold the kais for the end of halel. Now, I think that's the right way. I think in Rishonim it sounds like you really hold the kais for those last few pages. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people pick up the kais by lefichach and just hold it for that paragraph and put it in. I think that's probably the more widespread minhag. But even so, in lumdus, I think it's the same thing. We're switching from, because the matzah stays covered. You cover the matzah by lefichach. You pick up the kais, even if you put the kais down, but your focus is now al kais. The kais has replaced the matzah by the end of magid. Contrary, I would say, to by v'hi sham, that we also cover the matzah and pick up the kais, but that's not based on Rishonim. That's a minhag. That's a later meaning, and it's just to, like, you know, mishum simcha, to make that one paragraph a little more special. But by lefichach, it's really from there till the end of the Haggadah. And again, in Rishonim, it really sounds like the Iker minig is to hold the kais for those few pages. And that means that we, you know, if before we describe two different pictures of what magid looks like, we really end up doing both. We do a magid al hamatzah until lefichach, and then we switch. We cover the matzah, we pick up the kais, and then we're doing a magid al ha kais for the end of magid. And so what I want to explore a little bit is what's the inyan of switching in the middle of these two different visuals, you know, for what magid looks like.
According to the Torah.
Right, according to the Torah, and with the minhag, at least by Ashkenazim, I think, is the universal minhag nowadays. So before explaining, I would bring in another diyuk. There's an interesting diyuk in the Rambam. The Rambam Perek Zayin, he's talking about what magid is supposed to include, and he mentions the Manush Tana, and then he mentions the halacha being maskel b'gnusum v'sayim b'shvach. So yeah, you go through Avadim Ayinu and then you come to the Nisim. And then he mentions that we're supposed to say the parasha of Arami Oved Avi and be Dovish that whole parasha. That's the Mikra Bikurim from Parashas Kitzav, Arami Oved Avi, Arami Tzayma, right? And then it says Vayirei Yisrael Mitzvah Vayanunu, and then it says Vanitzak Al Hashem Lekei Vaseinu, Vayaras Anyenu. We say all those psukim and we darshan them. We say like a medrash on those psukim. So the Rambam says that's the next part of Magid. And then the Rambam writes that you're supposed to talk about the Pesach and the Matzah and the Mara and explain what each one is for. That's, I think, the end of Halacha Hey. This was Gimel Dalet Hey. And then at the very end of Halacha Hey, the Rambam adds six words. He says, V'dvarim ha'elu kulam nikroyim hagada. All of the above, everything that I just explained, that's called Haggadah. That's the end of Halacha Hey. Then in Halacha Vav, the Rambam says, Chayav Adam, his lashon is Lahari, says Atzmai, on the night of Pesach, Kilu hu Atzmai Yatsim Mitzrayim. Now, you'll recognize those words, the Erech, that's the next paragraph in our Haggadah. After the end of Rambam Gamliel. Rambam Gamliel is Pesach, Matzah, and Marar. After Marar, the next paragraph is B'chol Dar V'dar, Chayav Adam Liris Es Atzmai, and then the next paragraph is Lefichach, Anach HaChayav L'Haydz L'Hal L'Shameach, what we were just talking about before. The Rambam wrote Dvar Me'elu Kulam Nikroyim Haggadah at the end of Rambam Gamliel. And then he says, B'chol Dar V'dar, Chayav Adam Liris Es Atzmai, as if to imply that those last few pages are not called Haggadah. What we were calling the last few pages of Magid, the part where we switched, the Rambam implies that that's not called Haggadah. Haggadah meant everything up until the end of Rambam Gamliel, from Manishtana till end of Rambam Gamliel, or from Halach Ma'anyan nowadays until the end of Rambam Gamliel. That's Haggadah. And then we do something else. Now, there's a kasha.
Why does the Rambam say in the Halach Vav that Chayv Adam Liras Atzmai Kilu? If we already said Vehisha Amda says that.
They're
trying to eliminate.
That's Mamish. What I want to. That's what these next few minutes will come to explain. That's the theme that I want to try to elaborate on a little bit. There's a Ramban, very, very important, well-known, and very important Ramban at the end of Parshas Bai, where he addressed the question, if somebody asks you, why did Hashem bring the Makas on the Mitzrayim? So I think most people would say, your first instinct would probably be to get the Jews out, or maybe to punish the Mitzrayim. Those are two good answers, seemingly good answers.
Torah tells us.
It says to show them Mitzrayim. Okay, to show them Leman Teda. Very good. Very good. Right. So Ramban says that although most people's, I think, instinctive answer is to punish them or to get the Bnei Yisrael out, you'd only say that if you never read the Chumash. But if you open the Chumash is so clear, it says it again and again. It's actually four separate psukim in Va'era and Boy, where it says, Leman Teda, ki ani Hashem b'keref ha'aretz. Leman Teda, ki in kamoini b'chal ha'aretz. Leman Teda, ki li kol ha'aretz, I think, is the Lashon. One of them is Bavur Teda. So many psukim that tell us that the Makos came to teach. They didn't come to get a pragmatic result, to punish the Mitzrayim. He could have done that other ways to get the Yidden out. He certainly could have done that other ways. The purpose of the Makos was to impart some lessons, some truths, so that we should know things, that we're supposed to know. They're the Yisoidus of Emunah. The Ramban goes through Yisoidus of Emunah, that our conception of what God means, right? What does it mean that we believe in God? There's a Boyre, that He comes before all other Metzias, that He's all-knowing, that He controls what goes on in the world, that He gives punishment and reward, that He is all capable. These are the basic definitions of a Boyre, of a Rabbeinu Shlalom, and they needed to be taught, and they need to be demonstrated to Klal Yisrael. And where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach it? By the Makas. The Makas, right? And to the Mitzrayim. To the Mitzrayim also, right? But with the Ramban over there, it's true. Those Psukim are more directly, one of them is about Bnei Yisrael. Most of the Psukim are talking about the Mitzrayim. But the Ramban over there in Boy is emphasizing more that that's where we learn our Amunah from. That what these Makas were meant as were lessons in Emunah. To teach Bnei Yisrael, you say you want to believe in God, but you have to know what that means. So here's what it means. That He's a Bayre, that He's a Kadmoin, that He's a Kol Yachal, that He's a Yedeya. And another thing also, not about the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself, but another Yisoid of our Emunah, because, you know, to believe in a Bayre makes you religious, but not necessarily Jewish. What distinguishes our religion in particular is Torah Min HaShemayim, for which the basic underlying principle is nevuah, meaning one can say that there is a creator, and maybe even that He can take care of the world, but He doesn't communicate with the world. We, man, can't receive messages from Him. If somebody says they're receiving messages from Him, we say that he's crazy. We can't receive messages from Hashem, but that undermines the whole... The Torah is nothing other than a nevuah. It's a big nevuah. So the Yisrael of Yahadus requires emunah in nevuah. So by the Makas, Dr. Rambam, by the Makas, each of the 10 Makas was predicted before it happened. What was the purpose of that? It was to instill in Bnei Yisrael the Emunah in Nevuah. So all of the Yisoides of Emunah that we need were on display at Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Is that Emunah? Because you don't need Emunah to see it happen right in front of you.
So at that time, it was demonstrated to them, right, with their own eyes.
But Torah says that Bnei Yisrael believed Moshe right away. By Aminu Moshe, when he says, I'm going to take you out from Mitzrayim. by Aminu. They believed him right away. They didn't need the Makos. Before the Makos even. Before Dom.
It was by Kriyas Yamsa.
No, that's the second time you said it. It's the first time.
Aminu Hashem Roshan.
Right when they believed him.
I'm not sure which pasuk you're referring to.
I don't remember the pasuk.
But it could be right, but given that they believed
that's
Moshe.
That's
before
by Kriyas Yamsa.
Okay.
The Aminu Hashem Roshan is
by Kriyas Yamsa also.
Vayamin Ha'am. You're referring to the pasuk of Vayamin Ha'am.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Before we go to Paro.
Right, but there's also Velei Shamuel Moshe.
I thought they said that.
Okay, right? But they believed him. Their first reaction was, it could be. But that's different than Emun and Hashem and having a whole understanding. You're referring to a pasuk in Shemais. You're referring to a pasuk in Shemais.
Yeah, me too, I should have been
that
happens every day.
This is when
Moshe's first introduced the Bnei.
Yeah, I don't know. But the Emunah, again, Emunah in Hashem and a Nevuah and all of these, you say that, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach it to Bnei Yisrael? In the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then the Ramban goes on to say that there are so many mitzvahs in the Torah whose purpose is to perpetuate that emunah. That the Rosh Hashanah wants us to know what we believe, what does it mean to be a yid. And it was all demonstrated once upon a time, but I wasn't there, so our children weren't there. So the mitzvahs, and he says many mitzvahs that could be explained based on this, the Pesach mitzvahs, like the Karban Pesach, and the Isser Chametz, but even year-round mitzvahs like Kiddush on Friday night, and Tefillin, and Mezuzah. But of all of these mitzvahs, the one that is most directly involved in this is Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim is where we gather the children and the grandchildren around the table, and we tell them. We tell them what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do you need to know what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because that's the Yesod of our Emunah. So we're teaching them that there's a Beire, and he's a Kadmon, and he's a Kol Yochel, and he's a Mashkiach. All of these ideas about, and that he communicates with us through Nevuah, these ideas, what we call the Emunah of Yiddishkeit, that's what's happening at Magid. Which means that, from this perspective, Magid is, I think it's called nowadays, a very right side of the brain kind of experience. It is intellectual, it is cerebral. It is not, according to the, from this perspective, it is not an emotional, heart-tugging kind of experience. It's like, of course, we don't write, but the icon, the picture in your head could be a teacher in front of a classroom and everybody's studiously taking notes. We're teaching things. We're teaching, these are the things that you have to know. That's really, based on this Ramban, that's what Magid is really about. And then we go through many steps, right? Avodah Meyunu, Maschel B'Gnus, B'Sayim B'Shvach, we bring in around Mi'ay V'Rabu, we Yerush Kala Parsha Kula, we mention Pesach Masa Mar, we explain what each of them is for. And the Rambam writes, V'Dvarim Ha'elu Kulam Nikrayim Hagada. Then we say, B'chol Dar V'Dar V'Chai V'Adam L'Rus Atzmoi. And what happens there is, then it's, everybody close your eyes and imagine, right? Make believe, imagine, think about what it will be like. And this is already a whole different kind of experience. The end of Magid is meant to be much more of a emotional, of a feeling kind of experience. It's really, we're using our imagination and we're using our feelings to remember ourselves. Think of what it would be like if you were the slave. Think of what it would be like if you had gone free. What kinds of feelings does that awaken in you? So we say, that's supposed to awaken a certain kind of feeling. And then the next paragraph begins, what's the lesson of lefichach? In the Shira in the Torah begins with the word oz, oz yeshir Moshe. And the meaning of oz, the way various Mefarshim explain that the implication of the word oz means then. Then meaning it's the opposite of premeditated. The word oz then indicates spontaneous. It just happened. They didn't sing then because they were planning on singing because it was in the script to sing. They at that moment the song burst out of their mouths. That's the taich of oz. And the Torah uses the word Oz not just once in conjunction with Shira, right? Oz Yashir Moshe, and then in Parashat Chukas, you have Oz Yashir Yisrael. Shira is described with a Oz because Shira is supposed to be a spontaneous eruption of feeling, of emotion. So we say in the Haggadah, Chayav and Liris is Atzmai, right? That's when we're supposed to switch thinking hats, you know, switch hats, switch modes, and go into an emotional and imaginary kind of a mindset. And then Lafikach, I think Lafikach is similar to the Oz. Because we're being Reyes Asmai Kilu Yas Mitzrayim, that's why we're being Maidu Mahalo Mashabeach. So it's a whole different kind of a thing. And at the end of that paragraph, it says, V'noyma lefan of Shir Chadasha. So what's the taich of that? Pasha taich. Somehow Gadis don't have it. It's in parentheses and somehow Gadis. But the standard Nusach nowadays, I think, is V'noyma lefan of Shir Chadasha. We're going to sing a new song. Okay, so what new song did we make up for this year? It goes, Halu Avdei Hashem, Halu Hashem Hashem, right? The same, and then we say Song in Mitzrayim. It sounds like the same song that we sang last year. What do we mean when we say Shir Chadasha? Why is it called the Shir Chadasha? The teretz is, obviously, because the real toichen of the Shira is the Lafikach, is the feelings that's animating that Shira. And you're not supposed to, when we say Shir Chadasha, it means you're not supposed to sing that because that's what it says in the Haggadah. That's why you choose those words. But the reason why I'm singing now is not because it's scripted. I'm singing now because I just erupted in song. I just put myself into such a mindset to think about what it would feel like if I was a slave in Mitzrayim, I with my parents, with my children, with no end in sight. And then all of a sudden I saw all these remarkable things. And then I was taken out and I became a Men Chayvin. And I was brought to Har Sinai and I was V'lakachti Eschem Lila Am. How would I feel? And I'm supposed to sing with those feelings. And that's not the same feelings that I sang with last year. Hopefully last year I also did this, but the feelings are fresh each time. Shir Chadasha means a song that's animated by fresh feelings that are being experienced in the moment. That's the taish of a Shir Chadasha. And then, so we go on and we sing those, those kapitlach of Tehillim. We let David HaMelech provide the words, but we're providing the feelings. So that's why we put down we covered the bread, and we picked up the wine, because it's a whole different magid. You could call it magid. Again, like we said before, the poem is the poem, and this is all under the rubric of magid, but it's a whole different thing that we're doing. The first part was teaching, it was learning important yesodes, but the second thing is entirely emotional, it's entirely about feeling and being there, and that's why we switch modes. The Sfasema says on this last paragraph, the Lashon, I don't know if I'll remember all 10 words, but it says, Chayavaman, Anachnu, Lahoydes, Lahalal, Shabeach, Lefoyer, Lereimein, Lahader, Laale, Lanaseach, Lavorech, okay, Lekales, I guess maybe we covered all 10. So Sfasema says Akasha. You know the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Ches? That says that once upon a time there was a chazan that instead of just saying Akel Gadol Giver Vahaneira, he said Akel Gadol Giver Neira Veha Azuz Veha. I don't remember what the other ones were, but he added a whole bunch of adjectives. And I think the Gemara says that he was davening for the Amud in front the shul of Rabbi Bar Chana. And when he finished, Rabbi Bar Chana said to him, Siyam Chinu Lakuli Shvacha Demarech, did you complete all of the praise of your master? Right? The message of the Gemara being, you can't just add words on your own because you'll never do justice to it. So you just say what's there. You can't go overboard. So Sasama says, what do you make of this paragraph? 10 words in a row. That's not called going overboard. Can we ask a kasha over here? Siyam Chinu Lakuli Shvacha Demarech. So the Sfasema says, he says it in 2 words, but it's this verse that we were saying, that's all a taina when you're on when there's a text. You know, if Chazal are making up a text, or somebody else is saying a text of a tefillah, so then you have to be careful. See, I'm tinul kul shvach the mark, just say what's there. But if somebody is expressing what's in his heart, then he should just whatever's in his heart should come out. And there's no taina on him did you really say enough? You have to say what's in your heart. Mm. In that part of the Haggadah, we're just saying what's in our heart. And therefore, there's not this taina. Right.